Isaiah 34. This is just to bring you back up to where we stopped on the demon stuff. I think he's got one working for him. And thorns shall come up in her palaces. Throughout the scriptures, thorns are always symbolic of Esau. Remember that. So when it talks about, in the New Testament, when it talks about bringing up thorns and thistles instead of, then it's always talking about the fruit of Esau, or the fruit of your, or the results of the works of your hands can only be, in the best, can only be thistles. So that's nettles and brambles and the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court for owls. Now it's talking about you. It's talking about the people. And wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the islands. Remember, we talked that the wild beasts, and the satyr. Satyr is the hairy demon. Saraim shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl is Lilith, and it's thee. So it calls attention. There's an article. So it's a unique. It's one singular. It's the demon Lilith. The screech owl shall also rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation, they shall dwell therein. Now, you know, you read this and you think Saturn, screech owl, and great owl, I mean, those are just nice little imagery, until you know that the writers of this were talking specifically about demons. Okay? Now, now we're going to get interesting. Go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 is about the wine of Ephraim and what happens when you drink too much wine, you vomit. And the wine of Ephraim is the wine of self-seeking. And it comes to verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The question is a question. The answer is only them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now you have to desire the milk of the word for a while. And the milk of the word is the word that has been digested by someone else and then given to you. And there's a time when weaning stops. Whom shall he make Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand, truly understand, doctrine? Just think about the baby that's weaned. If it was left to its own devices, it would freak out. It would die in its own mind. Well, so would the weaning process is some, you know, in God's economy is a slow process. And sometimes you get real hungry and you want to just suck a tit. And the mother says, no, here, eat this instead. And you don't like to eat that. You don't like to gain sustenance from that which is not familiar. So you cry, desiring to be back on the tit. And you're there convinced that all your problems will be solved, and everything will be right. And some, to be back in the tit is the solution that you have in your mind for whatever it is that's troubling you. Understand? Now some of you, and you know what I'm going to say, I don't even have to say it. Whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. All that is the breast. You think you're learning precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's all in the spirit at the tit. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. In other words, the speech that is connected with the understanding of the doctrine isn't as you would understand it by your language. All language is that which causes you to have understanding about something. You understand? It doesn't mean, you know, English or Hebrew or... Language is whatever is necessary to cause you to have understanding. For you, the whole process of learning and being drawn from the breasts and brought, drawn from the tit is with, I mean, it's God speaking in stammering tongue, and another, I mean, stammering lips and another tongue. It makes no sense to you. He might as well be speaking Greek to you. You understand? To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. What is the rest? What is the refreshing? Only the resurrection. Nothing else. But the word of the Lord was unto them. The idea meaning, it continued to be unto them. The word of the Lord continued to be unto them. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might understand and become perfect with God. And they'd be at peace all the time because their understanding met with the word of God. That's what you'd like it to say. That's not what it says. It says that they might go and fall backward. And in the tense, it's they might go and fall backward. Then go and fall backward. Then go and fall backward some more. Then go some more and fall backward some more. Then go and fall backward. Go and fall backward. So there's no possibility of linear thinking left in your life. Linear deductive thinking is that if I do this, this, and this, and take this, this, and this, then this will happen. So you go and fall backward. Go and fall back. You do know all in the name of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I'm in the name of God, it shouldn't be this way. I'm going to go. Hallelujah. I'll get the victory this time. Go and fall backward. Go again and fall backward again. Because it's the propensity to go that causes you the problem in the first place. You understand me? It's the propensity that you have to leave the position you're in and go somewhere in your mind or in your understanding or in something that causes you to have to fall backward. I'm going to get it right, so I'm going to go. And you fall backward again. And I'm going to get it right again. No, and then you go again and you fall backward again. Do I have to repeat it over? Do you understand me?
It's like you need to use your head on a dead rock.
Huh? Can any of you relate to this?
Oh, God, yes.
Huh?
I said, oh, God, yes. I have muscle memory knowing this.
Go and fall backward. Go and fall backward. Go and fall backward.
Teach and then not teach.
And be broken and snared and taken until it finally dawns on you that you're not supposed to get, you're supposed to be taken. And once you're taken, once you are apprehended by that, God help the world. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Now, all of the people of God, everyone that names the name of God, doesn't matter whether they call him Allah or Buddha or Bruce, anyone that names to them, hear me, anyone that in their mind ascribes an idyllic condition is in truth in Jerusalem. I mean, they don't know what the hell, or whether it's the name of Jesus or Bruce or Buddha or Allah or Yahweh or Jehovah. But if you are in a position where you've been broken and ascribed to a condition better than that which you are in at this moment, you're without you knowing it, you are in Jerusalem. That's a biggie, because it'll cause you to not to get in all kinds of arguments with stupid little people in your Bible studies.
I don't understand what you just said.
Are you saying like if you're there in Jerusalem?
I don't care. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you are a little child that's hungry and wants more food, you are in Jerusalem. I'm saying if you are a greedy junk bond broker on Wall Street and want more money, you're in Jerusalem. I mean, the condition of wanting more than you have places the real you in Jerusalem. You're not communicating. It doesn't matter what language you're speaking in. Do you understand? If I have become a nice little Baptist kind of boy and say, praise God, I want to be with Jesus. That's where I want to be. Or I want to cross over the Jordan. I want to be over there. And little baby says, I want more food. And a stockbroker says, I want more money. They're all saying the same thing.
That they
want to
be in Jerusalem?
But no, hear me. Not that they want to be, they really are in Jerusalem. The fact that they want more than they evidence is the fact that they're in Jerusalem.
You're one sentence away, I think, from communicating.
Hmm?
There's something.
I'm one sentence.
Why would you want more? Or is that that's the condition of everybody who finds himself in Jerusalem is wanting more than what they see?
You're complicating it.
The real you is always in Jerusalem.
Yeah. And the fact, the only thing that any desire really is, no matter what it is, I don't care if you desire a piece of ass, I don't care if you desire, no matter what it is, if you desire any state other than you're in at this instant, that's simply the longing for the seed to be in union with the heart, with the mind.
Yeah, and if you see that, you can be in rest and you need to stay.
You understand me?
No, I thought you said the other night, but wanting more than you have
is the essence of sin.
So how does the essence of sin
become Jerusalem?
Place?
Because it's the evidence that the real you or the real them is in Jerusalem. Otherwise, they wouldn't long for that condition. The position of
is there
thinking.
State other than that?
Huh? Of course not. That's why the seed of Christ is in all men.
So all are in evidence in Jerusalem.
Because of the seed of Christ.
But the longing is an indication they want more than milk. They are on a level of Gerber. Is that it? They want something more than milk and less than meat.
Does it have a vowel? Unless we
pray
for a heat.
First word.
They go here a little and there a little because they're dumb.
Well, it's like, why does the human race ever want something other than what's going on with them? Why is that mechanism there? It's like seeking of nirvana.
Yeah, or
seeking, even if it's just, I'm hungry, I want more food, or I need more money. It's that blessed place, yeah.
You said eternity and quite a and don't know where it is.
Right.
Go to Hosea 11. It's Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. It's when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, we hear that and we think it's a prophecy that's connected with Jesus Christ, which it is. And we think it's a prophecy which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it is. Then we find out it's a prophecy maybe fulfilled in us as believers, and it is. And then we find out it's a prophecy in all men. It's got to start dawning on you that none of the doctrine is optional. Therefore, to argue about words is meaningless. To argue about whether or not the name of God is Yahweh or Allah or Jehovah or anything else is meaningless. The fact is that life which is Christ was born in the promise and has sojourned in you for a brief time in Egypt. Just like he's sojourning for a brief time in Egypt and all that are in the world. And he's calling that child out of Egypt, not physically travel point A to point B, but to see what's already finished in you as well as in an atheist, and an atheist as well as a Buddhist, and a Buddhist as well as a Muslim, and a Muslim as well as a Jew. You understand? And so when it says, when you are in the condition of desiring more than you have, it's the evidence that this calling is taking place. The fact that you would recognize it as the call will cause the fulfillment of what you think that you desire. Hear me? It's only those that don't see that their desire for X, for anything, whether it's more food, more water, desire to go to the bathroom, does anything. Am I communicating?
Yeah, that's what you told me, Kips, 5 years ago.
No. I mean, this is big, especially if you're teaching. If you don't know this, then you will pay attention to all of these little dealies of people's desires, and you will address them as desires or concerns. And if you do that, you then are described by Isaiah as a scornful man. You're full of scorn for the process of revelation. You got me?
Which is, what's the process of revelation?
The fact that you desire more than you have. If you didn't desire more than you have,
you could never
have found God. Mm-hmm. It's like we studied last night in bananas, and nobody understood me in bananas last night either.
Oh, that's not true. Several people didn't.
The only thing for which there are very few, there are five grains that can, only five seeds that can be used to make matzah. Any seed that does not have the capacity to be filled with leaven cannot be used to make matzah.
Rice matzah, you wouldn't have rice.
Can't have rice matzah. Anything, hear me, therefore in you, anything, any possibility within you that isn't, that doesn't have the capacity to be fully leavened can't be used of God. If I despise the capacity to be filled with leaven, then I, in the people that I'm teaching, then I am in the position of being a scornful ruler of Jerusalem. If you despise within yourself the propensity to be leavened, the propensity to desire more than you have, then you are a scornful man under the Spirit. Because you despise the process which causes perfection, which causes testing. And you therefore are scornful, whether it's in yourself or another. That's why if there's anything that has ever taken place in your life that you think is wrong, that shouldn't have been, or if there's any condition within you now that you think should be changed, then you are a scornful man. If you are teaching in that condition, you can only produce illegitimate children. It's a biggie. This is the biggie of the biggies, huh? Now we're going to see why. Isaiah 28. That is so simple. It sounds like it's complicated. It simply means to despise. If you're despising the testing, you're despising God.
If it can't be leavened, then there's no potential for failure. There's no risk.
If it can't be leavened, it can never be matzah. If it can never be matzah, you can never. You're
useless.
That's why we glory in tribulation. Count it the highest joy when we're tempted.
That's pretty cool. Can it be Christ? That's a lot easier when it's behind you, though. Look back behind and say, "Oh, that was the highest joy I ever had. That was some high joy." Does that count?
No.
Just in the
sessions. Oh, he's having some high times.
Verse 14, Isaiah 28, verse 14. Wherefore? Remember, the premise of this is the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. What tables? The tables by which you eat the Lord with the Lord. You eat the food of God. You eat the peace offering and the meal offering with God. The same table, the altar.
One question is this. You know, when you first used the analogy about if you're wanting more than you have, then you're in Jerusalem, right? Now,
therefore, all men.
So you're despising what you have by wanting more. You're saying what you have is not enough, so you want more.
Hear me, Larry. You just heard the exact opposite of what I said.
Okay. Well, that's why it didn't make any sense.
I want you to joy in the fact that you want more than you have. I want you to joy in what the scriptures call concupiscence or lust.
Larry's brain is frying.
Because without it, there could have never been revelation. And there could be no more revelation.
Yeah. I understand that.
You understand that?
Yeah, I can see that part of it. I mean.
Then you no longer have the right to despise yourself.
Let others
get this for. There's therefore now no condemnation. Otherwise, you will have to gain rightness by performance.
Well, I certainly know that position too. You want to gain rightness by performance.
The evidence that you want to gain rightness is that you can feel that you've been wronged. If you can no longer feel that you've been wronged, it will be impossible forever to ever feel like you could gain rightness. That antagonism, that position, can't come until you're weaned from the breast.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm thinking about a couple of things that strange things that Paul said were, because I was confused. You said, wait a minute, wanting, or I said, wanting more than you have is the essence of sin. Well, okay, so sin is the engine that fuels revelation. Should I therefore continue in sin? Should I seek out sin? Should I try to do sin? No.
God forbid.
It's automatic. Sin is, there's enough, I mean, the evil, submission under the day is the evil thereof. It will come. I don't have to look for stuff. It will come.
But it's more than just the, I mean, you can't, let me go. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Remember, you can't forget tonight, we're talking about demons. Okay? What's so funny?
I don't know, that struck me funny. I was thinking before you said that, when you were I was thinking about we're now teachers and we say something, we know that it's been totally misunderstood, but can't think of another way to say it so that it can be understood, and so you just have to go past it, you know? And
I never knew about that position.
So I was seeing that, you know, in you, and then all of a sudden we're back to demons. Okay.
Wherefore, here, now remember, you got to go back. This is, the tables are full of vomit. The only way to make him not full of vomit is to be weaned from weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Gone through this whole thing we just studied. This isn't a new subject. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Now hear me. That word, with covenant with death, is a word which in, when this was written, was a name. It's the Hebrew word mavet. It's the proper name of the Canaanite underworld god. The enemy, the ultimate enemy, and the Ugaritic epic, in the thing they found. It's the idea here that it should be a proper name and not the noun. Am I communicating with you?
Yeah.
And there's hundreds of places in the scriptures where, and we'll see some examples tonight, where that word, death, when this book was written by the prophet Isaiah, he was naming a name of a demon whose name was Mavet, who was the direct enemy once you'd entered the land. He was your biggest enemy. You have made a covenant with the demon, and with hell, or his underworld, are you at agreement? And the way you do this is very simple. You do it by being scornful of the condition you're in. You understand me? God has said, and God has ordained and organized you as a hunk of protoplasm in such a way so that every time that you think you want more than you have, it's really that which is revealing another aspect of God. You then, instead of seeing that, continue on, and especially if you're ruling, even if you're not, this was a ruler in Jerusalem, but if you're teaching, then what Isaiah is saying is that you are in an agreement with a demon, and with hell are you in agreement? And the evidence is because you say, I desire a state other than I'm in, and I don't see that as a revelation of God. Am I communicating to you? Now, you know enough thus far to know that it's not smart to make a covenant with a demon. You have made a covenant with a demon called Mavet. Mavet. Remember that name, Mavet. Every time from this moment forward that you desire a condition different than you are and set out to achieve it, in it, as opposed to seeing that that desire is the digging for the fuller revelation of God, no matter what it is, you've made a covenant with a demon whose name is Mavet. And you're in total agreement with the world of the dead.
Did you say when you set out to fulfill it?
Well, I mean, you can set out to, most of you know, you know, most of you too, you don't have any courage. So you don't really set out to fulfill it. You just do it in your mind. Mm-hmm. Winking in the dark. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
I mean, this, now maybe we can have the impetus where you can understand what Paul is talking about when he said, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? How can you do that? You can do that by one way only, and that is knowing that this other avenue, no matter how neat and wonderful and righteous it sounds, no matter how much enjoyment you're getting from it, is a covenant with a demon named Mavet. It doesn't matter if it's connected with romance, children's futures, the future of this body. Go spend a little time with your friends. You got me? You really?
Right now.
Okay, now go to Jeremiah 9.
We're going to make a rule out of this.
Mavet, M-A.
What's Mavet? M-A-V-E-T. It's the Hebrew word for...
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 9. All of 8 is about a mourning or a lamenting by Jeremiah for the condition, the spiritual condition that he sees his people in. I'm starting in verse 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? I mean, if you're going to have a vanity, I mean, have a big one. I mean... If you're going to have a goal, have a big one. Don't have these little stupid, strange ones. What? Provoke me to anger with her graven images and with strange vanities. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Now, that's not good news. The summer ended, and the spirit, if the summer's gone, and the spirit, we're history. Then our only hope is to say that the resurrection is past, and it's going to happen again someday. Understand me? That's the error that Paul was talking about. The covenant with death and the hell that are in agreement is because they're saying Jesus Christ came and he's coming. They're not saying he has come. Doesn't matter whether you call him Jesus or not. You can say, I had happy days in the past, I'm going to have happy days in the future. Or I didn't have happy days in the past, I'm not going to have. I mean, it's, you got to come to this final place where none of this stuff is optional. If you haven't heard the series in Bananas on names, please, 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 please listen to it. That's nine, how many tapes? Language. Eight or nine tapes. Maybe some of this will become real to you. For the hurt, 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In other words, why in the hell don't you say you're finished? And Jeremiah sees it, but he's weeping for those that don't. Okay, then in chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they all be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Nor respect is really what it says. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. You've heard me talk to you 1,000 times about no alliances. Now, it's so tempting. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about alliances in any arena of your life. The way you do this alliance shit is, okay, pretend that Harry is my boss. And Powell and I work for Harry. And so we have this meeting, and Harry says a bunch of stuff that we have to do. And then Harry leaves, and so then Powell and I sit there and say, oh, shit. Can you believe this?
Should have gotten a little more obscure than
that. That'll never work.
Huh?
More stuff we
have. Let's take another one. Terry. He's got Tim Cope working for him. And this is too easy. So, Terry either comes and talks to us and says, oh, God, that fucker. Or Terry goes and talks to Barry and says, oh, God, that fucker. The point is, they're an alliance. You understand me?
Yeah.
Or husbands and wives are the great ones.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. Why? They'll utterly supplant by giving strength. They'll supplant. They'll put themselves in the position of God. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? Husbands and wives go home and say, I can't believe what all he did to me. And you sit, coffee clutches. That's why gossip and tale-bearing is so evil. Because it produces an alliance. Now, you're not going to want to hear this next part, so if you don't want to hear it, you better close your eyes and ears. And every neighbor will walk with slanderers, and they will deceive every one of his neighbor who will not speak the truth. The truth is, it's finished. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. You understand? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them. What the hell kind of thing is that to say? Huh?
You're going to melt
me. What?
That's what
the
wicked witch says.
Behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people?
It gets worse and worse.
Well, it's going to take forever. God damn it. Can you understand why this evil is coming upon you? I mean, if you could see what the hell you're doing, you're in the midst of deceit and slander and making covenants with demons, and you're saying, oh my God, why has all this come upon me? Because every propensity, every instant by which you leave that moment of rest and go towards slander, gossip, deceit, bribery, you know, all those things we've talked about, begging, what you do is you leave seeking first the kingdom of God. Because you can't do any of those things without elevating and giving back the land to the enemy. And so God then has to come along and say, okay, I pull myself away from you. I leave you to your own devices. That's what all it means to melt you. You left to your own devices to be tested. But again, not tested for the purposes of disapproving, but being tested for the purposes of approving. But you don't have to do this all day. You have to do it. You don't have to continue in it. Their tongue is an arrow, is as an arrow shot out. You're going to see the arrow. No, I don't want to talk about that.
What do you mean we don't have to do it? That's what we're supposed to do.
until, I mean, if we don't do that, then we will never see. Right? And that's what you just said.
You hear what Paul said about that? What?
No, I was listening to you.
Shall we continue in sin? Yeah, it's all you've been doing. Now it's time to see that all of those are God. Do you understand? If I now say, okay, well, let's leave what Paul said about it.
He said it pretty good.
Hmm?
He said it pretty good.
He said it pretty good.
It's like the only time you need to slander and deceit and do all that kind of stuff is when you're not accepting yourself. That's the only time there's ever even an inclination to do it. So it drives you back to...
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, well, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, so many as of you, us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You understand? I mean, you're freed from it when you see it. See it. I mean, it's not a matter of whether you should or you shouldn't. If you see it, if you hear it, you'll see it. If you see it, it'll be the automatic. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall not I visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a people as this? Now, okay, well, that's that's what's been going on in verse 9. Disobedience brings God's judgment. You got it? Mm-hmm. We're not done with 9, but I'm not going to spend all 9 on it. Okay, now, the alternate to this is verse 17. You know, you can go down and read the rest of the bad stuff. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. Now the mourning and the wailing is the response to the fact that the people aren't hearing. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet, hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows. That word there, death, is mavet. The demon has come up to our windows and has entered into our palace, our temple, to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The point is, there is no condition that can take place in your life if you can honor and say that isn't. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. You understand? That's why, if you're going to glory, glory in the Lord. But glory in the understanding, the righteous loving. I mean, the righteousness, the loving judgment. That's all that can happen to you. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are uncircumcised with the circumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all they that are in the innermost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Wow. You see, this sort of gets rid of your religion. Yeah. Now remember, the purpose of this is to see that it's taken a long time to get here. Remember I told you about there's this huge division of protection between you and the evil spirits, between you and this world of spirits. That, as long as you're on the plane, you start climbing up the mountain to Zion, and the protection gets thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. That if you continue therein, Mavet is going to make himself visible at your window. He will let himself be known with whom you have made the covenant. Hosea 13. When Ephraim spake, trembling, I love this one.
Doesn't sound good.
What? Well, it sort of cuts to the heart of sincerity. When Ephraim spake, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. To speak trembling means to speak in sincerity, to speak humbly, to speak, I'm just trying to do it right. I can't help it. I can't help this, but this is just the way I feel.
I did it for you.
Nobody would do that.
That would be. Huh?
There's so many people
that be that dumb.
That's what you want.
Oh, that would be a smart one. That would be a smart one.
That's what you said.
When Ephraim spake, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now, they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say to them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. When you speak trembling, when you speak humbly, when you speak sincerely, what you are doing is you're exalting yourself through the means of a silver molten image. Because you think by that action that you will be redeeming yourself. Now some of you have done this a whole bunch. Whole bunch. You've gotten by with it because you've just been, as Ephraim, speaking in Israel. Now, since you know that, now if you do it again, you'll be offending in Baal and you will die. Am I communicating with you? Anybody doesn't understand?
I don't understand about offending in Baal. Offending in Baal. How do you offend in Baal?
Because now you understand that by those actions you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping Baal.
When you're being sincere. there.
You're just worshiping a molten image. Silver molten image. When you confess, I'll just leave that.
When you confess what?
Now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. And they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. And what do you expect when you're doing that? Is you expect those that you're offering, or the arena that you're offering in, you expect us to worship your idol, to kiss the calf. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you expect, and most of you do it to me, you do it to each other too, but I only know about the times you do it to me, mostly. Am I communicating?
Yeah, you hate animals.
Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud.
Most of the time when I see that, it's like when, after I've done
I thought you'd probably say something.
I don't ever see it when I'm doing it. I'm not trembling right now, but... I can see that this trembling thing, I mean, that happens in me.
It's the spirit of Criswell.
Spirit of what?
Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away. The morning cloud and the early dew is the one that as soon as the sun hits it, they're clouds literally without water in Jude. As the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor. Again, that's just the other metaphor. I mean, when the whirlwind hits, when the testing hits, it can't stand. It just, that's why it says, what is the chaff to the wheat? Or as the smoke out of the chimney. The chimney, it says, remember it talks about Egypt as a furnace? And it's the idea that all it is, all the purpose of Egypt is from the spiritual standpoint is to be the furnace to test, to refine, to assay the gold. And when it's burning in this intense heat, and then it smokes.
Like you were saying in Revelation about the smoke.
Yeah. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there's no Savior beside me. You always want another Savior. Some of you with Messiah tendencies. What?
This is the spirit of Mr. Ed. I'm kissing the cat, you kiss a horse.
There's no Savior beside me. You always think that the idea of knowing there's no Savior beside him, the way it's tested, if you know there's no... If again, Savior...
You don't need a silver idol.
You don't need a silver idol. You don't need somebody's response to you. You don't expect anybody else to kiss the calf. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled... They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, and as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, The wild beasts shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou hast said, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is as an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. That means he won't endure. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Now, the one we're talking about here, Mavet, death, is the name of that demon. To the demon, God himself will be the plague. And we'll see when we study this more, there's some other interesting demons in that verse. Okay? Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come up. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry. His fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all his pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And remember, the essence of all of this is that he desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part he should make you to know wisdom. The only way that he can make you to know wisdom in the hidden part is to know the fear of God. There's no other position that can cause wisdom to manifest itself other than the fear of the Lord. A lot of you have spent a lot of time thinking you're afraid of me. You're not. Trust me on that one. Israel, return. Unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So we will render the calves or the sacrifices of our lips. Now God doesn't really care about you when you praise him when things are going well. The Gentiles do that. He cares that you would praise him, and the only way you can praise him is to see, not, you don't praise him as a gimmick so you get out of the trouble. You praise him by seeing that he is the trouble. You understand me? I know, and he knows your heart. My prayer for every time Tyra and I pray for months, it's been, Lord, teach us to praise thee. No more praise as an instrument of gaining something, but praise because we see with clarity where we have always been. No more praise by liturgy. praise because of what he has accomplished already. No more praise, using praise as one of the strings by which you manipulate God to your ends. So you make him like a puppet on a string. But praise that's in certain knowledge. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. Now nobody's dumb enough to do that, right? For in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal there, or your backsliding. I will love you freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow up as the lily and cast forth his root as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall revive as the grain and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Now, O grave, O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. What?
That sure sounds like, O grave, where is the victory? O death, where is
the victory? That's the quote. That's what it's quoted from.
It is. So he was talking about Moabit.
Moabit.
Where were you just reading that?
Chapter 13, verse 14. And his first Corinthians, and Paul quoted that in 1 Corinthians 15:54.
So, does that mean in the first death, then you fall into the hands of Moabit?
Moabit is just the Hebrew word for Hades. Hades is the
destruction.
Right.
Verse.
Everybody understand perfectly?
Perfect.
Take it, big guy.
What was it?